Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely terrific day today. We're staying busy down here as always, and to give everybody a heads up, we get a lot of phone calls about this, a lot of emails about this. I have the organic food buckets up on the website. However, the activation to purchase them is not active yet. I'm waiting on a big batch to come in. I've had a lot of people asking me. We'll put it on the front page when they come in. These are from a company that are actually making full certified organic food buckets. They're right under 20,000 calories per bucket. And again, these are organic certified. There's no hydrogenated oil. There's no MSG. There's no hydrolyzed soy protein. There's none of that in them. They're really, really clean. Pretty much some of the cleanest ones I can find for ready-made food buckets. There's a couple other companies on the market that I've looked at that have organic buckets, and what they are is they're basically like vacuum sealed, you know, a pound of lentils, a pound of cashews, a pound of, you know, peas. There's nothing wrong with those. Those are good. The issue you've run into, and I've used some of those before, is that you get a 4-pound bag of lentils in this organic bucket. Well, the problem is once you break the seal on it, you have to basically cook 4 pounds of lentils, or you got to try to seal it back up and open it up again, and you got to kind of concoct your own food together, like, okay, mix this together, make this together, and you got this whole kitchen, you know, 4-entree dinner that you're trying to produce. The issue you run into with this, and this is just my personal opinion, when we've dealt with significant storms down here in Florida, and we've been without power for a week at a time, and we're outside cutting trees, and we're dragging stuff, and we got the trucks out, we're chaining stuff, clearing the roads, we're pulling sandbags. When we're ready to eat, I'm ready to eat, and you can't have to have somebody dedicated to spending 6, 7, 8 hours a day trying to prep a 4-course meal for every single meal. You need to basically be able to throw it in the water, cook it in 10 minutes, it's already ready to go, it's already seasoned, it's already prepped, everybody goes in and digs in on chow. That's how you have to do it. That's why I like these buckets better that I have coming in, because they're ready to do go. Basically drop them in a pan or drop them in a, you know, a bowl and cook them, throw them in water, cook them for like 10 minutes, and they're done. You don't have to try to create this giant meal together. That's just my personal preference. And also, too, be aware, a lot of these companies doing these food buckets, they come out and say, oh, this is like a 4-week supply, this is a 30-day supply, this is a 2-month supply. I don't care what they say. Almost every single number that I've looked at on those is not accurate for real-world life situations. That's why I told you guys these buckets, I'm not telling you how long they're going to last for. I'm telling you they're right under 20,000 calories. You need to figure out how much food you eat every day and your family eats every day and prep for that accordingly, because a 250-pound male that's outside working in the sun all day trying to clear trees and, you know, do whatever is going to eat a lot more calories than a 50-pound child or a 100-pound female. So sitting there saying one of these buckets is going to last you 1 month, and then you look at it and it's basically 700 calories a day for 30 days. I don't care who you are. If you're a full-size male and you're outside working all day, you're not going to function on 700 calories after a couple days. You can do it for a little bit, but your mental acuity is going to start dropping, your energy is going to go through the floor, you're going to start losing weight rapidly, and you're not going to be able to function after a while. So understand how many calories you need and prep off that, not what a lot of these companies are running around saying, oh, it's last this long, last that long. But the buckets will be in next week. Got a whole bunch of them. I'll put them on the website when they get in. Just wanted to clarify that, Dad, and put that out there.
Thanks, Austin. You know, it's important, guys, to have some storable food. Now, I'm not telling you to pick up 10 years of storable food. That's silly. Quite frankly, you know what I mean? There's a lot of things that could happen if you have 10 years of storable food and you actually go to that apocalyptic world and you have 10 years of storable food. Chances are a roving gang from another place is going to come try to take your food away from you. I can pretty much guarantee you that. So, you know, but you need to have 30, 60, 90 days anyhow. You need to have enough food that if something happens from a supply chain standpoint, you know, we've learned this, you know, at Health Masters and, you know, and with these hurricanes that we have down here. You need to have the ability to come in and say, hey, look, you know, we need to go ahead and, you know, have enough food stored up that we can supply the needs of our family for a few months, just a few months, and have enough water supply, you know, either with distillation or stored water or a swimming pool that you can run water filtration through, something that you have that'll say, okay, look, I'm not going to be a victim. Because remember, if you have a massive supply chain break and the semi-trucks stop running, the grocery stores are going to be empty within hours. They've proven this. We see it down here all the time with hurricanes. Suddenly you go to the grocery store and the hurricane is a day away and the shelves are pretty much laid bare as far as all the foods that are easy to prepare without power or electricity. It happens all the time. We've seen it so many times. Years ago, back in 2004, we had three hurricanes come through here in 6 weeks. It was the most, how should I say this? It was one of the most amazing feats I've ever seen with geoengineering. They literally took our county, which is Polk County, P-O-L-K County, here in Central Florida, and they had three storms cross our county, like X marks the spot, every other week. I mean, it was almost a joke, but it wasn't funny at all. It was horrible. And what ends up happening is you end up getting what's called, I guess you could call it anything you wanted to, but you can become storm fatigue. You don't want to hear anymore about it. It's kind of like the coronavirus. Nobody wants to hear about it anymore. You know, I was on there talking to Doug Hagman yesterday, and he was saying basically that, you know, the coronavirus, people are saying that there's nothing to this, and it's fear mongering. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But the reality is, when the storm hit and we had three storms cut across Central Florida, the first one we handled pretty good. A lot of trees went down, but not in our area because it's a pretty big county. The second one, a few trees went down, but not that bad. We're in a pretty big county. By the time the third storm hit after 6 weeks, the ground was so saturated and the water table was so high, we had multiple oak trees in my yard, I think three or four, come down, blocking driveways. It was a disaster. Luckily, I had a chainsaw, and I was able to, you know, get out of my own driveway. And we had no power for an entire week, but it didn't affect us. You know, it was irritating. I have to admit that it was an irritant because you basically didn't have the power or whatever. But, you know, we could flush the toilets because we had a backup generator which ran our well, which kept the power energized to the toilets. We ran an extension cord over to the neighbor's house to keep their freezer going. We ran a water hose over to the neighbor's house to keep their water going. I mean, they had not prepared at all, and so they couldn't flush their toilets because they're on city water. We're on basically a well. And so we were able to kind of cope with it, work together as a neighborhood for 1 week. And we didn't have any looting or rioting or anything else because enough people moved out of the areas and went up to visit their family and relatives in other parts of the country that it wasn't a big deal. Now, here's the next scenario. But what happens if we have a major thing hit here in Central Florida, but it's not isolated geographically, that the entire state is taken out or the entire Southeast is taken out, let's say through some type of biological agent? And now all of a sudden you've got all of these infrastructures going down because county employees can't go to work. They can't produce electricity. They can't produce water. Now all of a sudden everybody starts to get hungry. That's why it's important that you have food stored up for at least 6 weeks. After 6 weeks, pretty much all bets are off. A lot of people will be gone within 6 weeks just simply because their medication can't be refrigerated. And guys, we've talked about this before. You know, if you've got a problem with health issues right now, they're going to be exacerbated if the power goes out or if you can't get access to your medication or if your medication, like insulin, can't remain refrigerated. You're going to have a problem with a lot of things that are going to happen all at once. Now is the time, if you're an adult onset diabetic, to start working with a local doctor who's like a naturopath or a medical doctor who's basically nutrition-oriented as far as helping to get off the insulin and prescription drugs. If you're on benzodiazepines and all of a sudden you start have to come off those because you can't get those, there's a high probability that, you know, you may die. I mean, so you've got to realize that there are all kinds of things that you're on that if you, you know, you want to stay on these things for extended periods of time, that they have to be available to you. And I'm not trying to be fear-mongering here. I was letting you guys know that this is just reality with people with their health issues. Same thing with high blood pressure. Same thing with, you know, with any type of other type of medication that you may be taking on for a life-threatening condition. You have to make sure those things are there. So I don't normally talk about this stuff because it's so negative, but I just want to clear that up with you guys. You need to make sure you have that stored up, including storable food. But I'm not even promoting that on our website because we don't even have the inventory in yet. And once we get the inventory, it'll be gone in a day anyhow, and we'll try to get some more in. But the guys, the whole point is, I love you guys, and I prayed for you this morning. If you think I like talking about coronavirus every day, You're absolutely wrong. I don't. I'd rather do scripture readings with you That's why last week on Thursday, we talked about the Bible. We talked about the blood. We talked about all this stuff. And that was why I wanted to talk about that, because it's so important that we all work together to realize that we're in this thing together. And no matter whether I'm on the air today or not tomorrow or whatever, I'm still praying for you. I care that much about you. And I'm going to pray for your families today and tomorrow. I do it every day. I pray for Hagman's listeners. I pray for all of our listeners, because it's what we're supposed to do as Christians. But let me give you some updates. Beijing now is admitting that they've had 15,152 new virus cases in one day. But they're changing the counting method so they can basically try to cover this up. The Wuhan Communist Party chiefs have been removed for incompetence. Stranded foreigners are telling of fear and rations. Hong Kong is questioning and concerned about spreading this through pipes. And now we have more people. It's well over 200 people now on this ship that's sick. North Korea found a person who was in a public bath who was diagnosed with coronavirus. He was sick because he decided to try to elevate his core temperature or whatever. I have no idea why he was doing this. And they executed him. They just killed him. Rio is bracing right now for a risk during Carnival. And we're about to have the first drop in oil use in an entire decade. And the U.S. military is preparing and prepping for a pandemic here in the United States. Now, guys, I just read you the top 10 stories on the Drudge Report, lest you think that I'm bringing this out of some kind of strange place. You go to drudge.com, you'll see it up there. The U.S. Northern Command is executing plans to prepare for a potential pandemic of the novel coronavirus, according to the Navy and Marine Corps service-wide messages issued this week. An executive order issued by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, approved by the Defense Secretary Mark Esper this month, directed Northern Command and Geographic Combatant Commanders to initiate pandemic plans. Are you listening to me, friends? Which include ordering commanders to prepare for widespread outbreaks and confining service members with a history of travel to China. The Navy and Marine Corps messages issued Tuesday and Wednesday respectively referenced to an executive order directing U.S. Northern Command to implement the Department of Defense Global Campaign Plan for Pandemic Influenza and Infectious Diseases. This document serves as the Pentagon's blueprint for planning and preparing for widespread dispersion of influenza and previously unknown diseases. We're talking about the United States. The U.S. Northern Command said Wednesday was directed by the Joint Staff February the 1st to commence prudent planning in their assigned role, synchronizing the department's plans for pandemic flu and disease. Now, wow. Now, it does say, I'm going to read this one more thing to you. But in no way does the planning indicate a greater likelihood of an event developing, as military professionals planning for a large range of contingencies is something we owe the American people, Navy Lieutenant Commander Mike Hatfield said. So I wanted you to know that our military is in a full-blown prep phase right now for combating a pandemic here in the United States. And, we need to understand that the numbers that we've been given as far as the amount of people infected are massively, massively underestimated. The one man who was basically a billionaire who's been exiled out of China, his inside sources, according to him, said in Wuhan alone, the main city, 1.5 million infected, 50,000 dead. Guys, this thing is for real. And for us to pretend like it's not, now I'm hoping and praying that the containment policies put into place by not having any more flights coming in from China into the United States and vice versa is going to stop this stuff in Asia and just make it go away. That's what I believe. I'm just going to believe it's going to run its course and be done. But in the meantime, we can't assume that's going to happen. That's why it's important. I'm going to say it again. You make sure you stay with your D3K2. Just say you stay with your vitamin C, and you stay with your potassium iodide. We have the Hagman protocol, immune system protocol on the website that you can get. And it's really important that we all work together right now to do this. Now, here's the thing. If you spend $100 and you get those three products, whatever. You got a lot of insurance for a really low amount of price as far as keeping your immune system strong. But you're going to have to do something. If you don't want to get those products from me because you're mad that I'm talking about this, I don't even know how people think anymore, then just go get them somewhere else. They may not be as good a quality, but at least you'll have something. Just make sure that vitamin D is from lanolin, and make sure that it contains K2, and make sure that you've got a good blend of ascorbates as far as the vitamin C or different antioxidants, and make sure that potassium iodide has some nascent or molecular iodide in it. and make sure it's at least 12.5 milligrams per capsule. I'll start taking one or two of those capsules a day. I've increased my iodine now. I'm taking 4 to 6 of those a day just for a couple of weeks. That's way too much. I'm not recommending that you do that, but it doesn't really hurt you at that level in a short period of time, because I want to make sure that I've got at least 1.5 grams of the iodine buildup in my system, you know, inside of my thyroid. And so it's, but I'm not suggesting that you guys do that. You do what you want to do. But you can also do the same thing with the vitamin D3, K2. If you haven't been taking enough D, you can take one of those a day instead of one of those a couple times a week and build that level up. Same thing with the vitamin C. That's water soluble, so that has to be taken every single day, 4,000 to 6,000 milligrams a day. And I personally believe that you're going to have a massive increase in your basically immune system and its ability to fight. And so it's really important that we understand that this thing is getting kind of really messed up right now. And now on that ship now, there's, like I said earlier, there's over 200 people now who've been diagnosed. And it's not getting any easier for the people in the Far East and who are involved in all of this stuff. And so we've got to continue to pray for them. And we do every day here in my household that they can get through this. I had another friend of mine. Her name is Kathy. She, very, very, very reputable person, was a top administrator in the school systems here for years. And she emailed me or texted me last night and said that it's true that she has friends in China, and they have friends whose doors are in these big commercial condominiums. They have these big, you know, this housing they have in China, this, how would you call it, communist housing, with these little bitty apartments. And they have steel door frames and steel doors, and their doors are being spot welded shut. Yeah, I got that last night. And we read about that. I talked about that yesterday, that they were spot welding doors closed, and they're doing that so that people can't get out. You know, this is what's the insanity of all that is, what if there's a fire in that building? What if there's a fire? My gosh, dear Lord. What if there's a fire in that building? They can't even get out of their house, can't even get out of their apartments. And I've been in those places over in China. We went to the Shanghai Silk Market, and they had all kinds of, like, you know, different goods they had for sale that from the factories there in Shanghai. And they basically, one of the guys said, we were asking about a certain product, and they said, oh, we have those. And they took me up a set of stairs, like 3 or 4 stories up, no elevators. And it was one of these high-rise apartments with the steel doors and the steel frames. And we went into this apartment, and it's probably 600 square feet for the entire apartment. And it's like 3 rooms, and the entire thing was just shelves from floor to ceiling with products that you could buy and pay cash for. And what was interesting about this is I thought when I was there, I thought, what about their fire codes? How in the world do they have this kind of stuff going on here? Guys, they're welding doors shut, according to my people over there. And I haven't seen them, but this is what I'm hearing. And, I mean, this is a major, major problem for these guys. And why is that? Why would the Chinese government do that? Why would the Chinese government get rid of all the communist leaders there in Wuhan? Well, because they're in panic mode. They don't know what to do. And they'd rather sacrifice the people, like they did in North Korea, who got into a bath, or in China, who basically welding them into their homes, rather than have this continued spread, because they realize that this is a, how should I say this, this is a life-altering event, nation-altering event, global-altering event, if it cannot be contained. So guys, continue to pray for the folks over in China. We'll continue to keep you updated. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, it's really well said. And I mean, it's interesting to see a lot of this stuff overnight. I mean, we knew the numbers were being artificially suppressed. And then whatever happened last night, whether or not information got released or they actually were being truthful for a night, but if anybody saw this, the actual cases went up like 17,000 last night. Went up like 17,000 with another, like, I think 242 deaths overnight. So now is the point where they're admitting that there's almost 60,000 cases in China already. Now, if the part that's a little bit concerning, even if we know that they're suppressing the numbers, but this is what they're admitting. Remember what you guys 2 weeks ago when I started talking about this? The end of January, less than 2 weeks ago, you know, it's the 13th of February today, end of January, we were only like 9,000 cases. So that means in less than 2 weeks, it multiplied by 6. That's a serious issue, and this is what they're saying is they're giving us the numbers. So, I mean, if those numbers actually were true, And that's what's really going on. That means by the end of February, we're looking at close to, you know, 400 to half a million infected over there. And again, that's not if it doesn't start keep growing on this rate. So just be aware of that and understand what's going on. Also, too, this is interesting. One Chinese company, and somehow they started basically trying to return a bunch of the people to work because the economic fallout is becoming very, very clear in China right now. So they put people back to work in one of the manufacturing facilities. As soon as they opened it up, they immediately had a coronavirus case in there. So as a result, the company's 200-plus employees cannot go home and were immediately placed under quarantine. Now, the thing you have to remember about China is human rights essentially don't exist in that country. You have to understand that. It's a communist dictatorship. People work for literally pennies. Pennies. 10, 15, 20 cents an hour over there. I mean, it's slave labor. So it appears to me what they're doing now is they're pushing them back into work now that they basically already had a case. Now they've quarantined the manufacturing facility. Nobody can go home. So now they're going to force these people to work essentially in this environment. Highly probable they're going to catch it as this person's been exposed to everybody. And so now they're just going to run basically manufacturing facility death camps and say, hey, they're quarantined. We can't let them out, so we might as well keep them to work. I don't know if they're going to continue with that, Dad, but it sure appears that looks like the trend that they're about to start with. What do you think?
Well, personally, I'm going to say this. This is going to sound weird, all right? If I was going to be locked up somewhere, I'd rather have something to do. I guess that's how they look at it. In other words, I wouldn't want to just sit there on a – they were saying they were bringing them quilts to sleep on. I wouldn't want to be sitting there in that manufacturing facility, you know, doing nothing, waiting to die. I mean, gosh, this is a horrible conversation. I'd rather be working and doing something. At least, you know, that would be the goal. If they were going to weld me in there, which I'm not saying they're going to do that, or have guards there, which I'm sure they're going to do, and not let me go home, I'd rather keep my mind occupied. And this is how the child sex slave labor manufacturing, whatever you want to call it, in China operates. They just do whatever they want to do. And I mean, this is why they were jumping out of the windows at the Apple factories, and they had to put suicide nets out because they were working them to literally working them to death. But that's the mindset of the government of China. This, like you said, Austin, it's the slave labor for pennies for the dollar, you know, for what they get paid over there. This is why so many of these manufacturers have gone over there to engage the slave labor. And then they get up on their high horse. This is what just ticks me off. They get on their high horse and they start talking about how bad we are in this country and how bad the country is and how these guys are extreme liberals and they basically want this. And they're the very ones – these manufacturers that are using slave labor out of China, and they're pushing it, promoting it, and like Nike, and so they promote all of this stuff. But guys, this is a major issue that they have. But I believe Austin's right. I believe they're going to force these people to work even though they're sick, and then once those people get sick, they'll bring more people in and have them work because they don't want to lose the economic production of the engine over there that is China. You know, London is now on coronavirus alert. Paramedics and hazmat suits are marching people out of their apartments after telling bystanders that we have a confirmed case amid anyone who basically came in contact with this person. I mean, the coronavirus deaths, like they said, like Austin just said, leaped to 242 in a single day, the biggest rise ever as the total cases passed over 660,000. It's like 1 billion or said. It's over a million. He said that almost a week ago, so chances are it's probably closer to 3 million. You know, the coronavirus isolation pods that are being used in Britain hospitals now, and the NHS over there sets up a windowless shipping containers and rusty cabins as the ninth case of coronavirus is diagnosed in the UK. They're setting up shipping containers to put these people in. I mean, this is what's happening right now. In the meantime, they're telling us that coronaviruses are basically stabilizing in China. What? They're telling us all of this stuff, and then they say, oh, by the way, the coronavirus are now basically stabilizing. No, they're not. Not at all. Guys, it's important that we understand that this is going to be something that's going on for the next few months. Now, why is it that flu usually hits in the wintertime? Why does that happen? Why is it that we always have these cases happening in January, or February, or December? Let me explain that again for the folks that are new listeners. Our body manufactures vitamin D3 from sunshine via the skin, via the conversion of cholesterol. And what happens is when we don't have sunshine, when it becomes overcast in the wintertime and we don't have the ability to make vitamin D3, our D3 levels go way down. And when that happens, it compromises our immune system. This is why people get sick in the winter times so much more than they do in the summertime, especially in the northern climates, or in a place like China, which is so polluted that they get very little sunshine anyhow because the atmosphere is so contaminated with sulfur dioxide and with basically manufacturing facilities pumping out all kinds of pollutants into the atmosphere without the use of wet scrubbers, which is like a 1940s, 50s technology. What this is if you got a giant factory producing and belching out all of these poisons, you put wet brushes on top of the smokestacks, and these brushes move back and forth so they don't plug up and they keep themselves porous, but the water hits all of the smoke as it goes through and it precipitates the solids, the smoke, the dirt in the solids, in the smoke, back into a giant pile at the bottom of the smokestack, which can be disposed of differently or reprocessed. That's what a wet smoke, that's what a wet scrubber is. This is technology that was from 70 years ago. We implemented that into our phosphate plants here back in the 50s and 60s. You know, this is the craziest thing, that they don't even put wet scrubber technology into their plants. Why? Because it decreases efficiency, because it makes the stacks get much hotter, because you don't have the airflow that you need to, and it decreases productivity. It costs, makes it increases the cost of manufacturing, because now you have to deal with the pollutants instead of just pumping them into the atmosphere. So this is the problem they're seeing in China. This is the same thing that happened in England during the Industrial Revolution. I mean, the sky was completely hazed over in black all the time because of all the coal factories and all the plants producing electricity, and finally they had to come in and start changing all of that. I mean, we had entire species of different types of animals starting to go extinct because of all of this. I could do the whole show with you on that, but I'm not going to. So the problem is that we have this situation from China now, which should have been dealt with 60, 70 years ago, and they should have never gone into this giant manufacturing craze. Now, why did they go into the giant manufacturing craze? That was because of Bill Clinton, you know, and all the stuff that's happened with these presidents giving them the most favored nation statuses and shipping all of our manufacturing over there and decreasing the manufacturing sector in the United States, making us a global economy and interdependent on other countries for production of goods and services. This is what's happened. And so that's why these factories left the United States and went over there, because they can hire somebody for 20 or 30 cents an hour. And that's how they get away with all of this stuff, guys. And so this is what's happening in China now. Because of the conditions over there, these people are staying very, very sick because they're not making enough vitamin D3. Now, by the way, they're actually coming up with an implantable digital ID vaccination system. It's in development right now. And what it's going to do is going to give the people the ability who monitor you for vaccinations to tell them if you have a vaccination due and to flag you on the AI system in the event that you're not properly vaccinated or you've been avoiding vaccines. In other words, have you had your medication today? If you haven't had your medication, this implantable trackable ID chip, which is in development right now, is going to be used to say, hey, look, this isn't okay. You've got to go back and you've got to get your information back to these people to make sure that you are current with your vaccinations. I mean, what the heck? Are we kidding? And guys, let's talk about Trump for 1 second. You know, this is an article that was from last August. This is like 6-7 months ago that this article came out. And it says, Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, this is the guy with the purse, announces gun confiscation red flag legislation backed by Donald Trump. Now, we keep forgetting that our president did this. GOP Senator Lindsey Graham said Monday he plans to introduce a bipartisan red flag gun confiscation bill that will have President Donald Trump's support. Graham announced he had reached a deal with the Democratic Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal, like he's really the picture of them, never mind, to create a federal grant program to help states establish red flag laws or laws that facilitate gun confiscation when a threat is detected. Quote, I have reached an agreement with Senator Blumenthal to create a federal grant program to assist and encourage states to adopt red flag protection order laws to timely intervene in situations where there is imminent threat of violence, the South Carolina senator said. Graham, the senator's judiciary campaign, also indicated the legislation has Trump support. He goes, I spoke with the president this morning about this proposal, and he seems very supportive. Guys, this is the same time when his daughter started going to all the senators and the congressmen pushing red flag gun laws in all the states. I posted this article again on the Health Masters website so you guys can read it again. Now, this is a president who knew a year and a half after this legislation was being pushed last summer that he had to run for president again. What's he going to do when he's reelected in 2020? That's my question to all of you guys. And it was because of this article I contacted Rodney Howard Brown, who contacted Paula White. I'm using names this morning. I don't usually do that. Who's basically got Trump's ear. And I sent a list of questions and comments to Paula White through Rodney. Now, whether she got those or not, I don't know. That basically said, this needs to stop. This whole red flag gun stuff with your daughter running through the White House and through the Congress and telling these senators and congressional leaders to pass these laws needs to stop. And we need to stop this gay rights stuff, too, because it was also going on at the same time. And the transgender stuff. Because remember, one of his best buddy was gay from the 70s and the 80s. And, you know, they talked on the phone every day for hours. And he's like the most pro-gay president, wants to be known as that, in the history of the White House. Now, all of this stuff I told my Rodney, I said, this stuff needs to stop. If he wants to maintain the support of the Christian right, this stuff needs to stop. This is why multiple Christian magazines came out against him. And Christian leaders came out against him because of stuff like this. But this is the same president who now runs around talking about his Second Amendment stance, who was pushing the red flag gun laws, which has been a night that would have been a complete and total disaster here in Florida, with thousands and thousands of people now who haven't done anything wrong having all of their weapons seized. Now, you think about it for a second. What happens if we had martial law in Florida right now? Have medical martial law. How many people can have their weapons seized because of the red flag gun laws that we have passed here in Florida right now? Well, Joe down the road, man, he doesn't want to get his vaccine. He's got guns. Go take his guns. Red flag him. Wait a minute. Did I just say that? Joe down the road won't take his Ebola or his SARS or his coronavirus vaccine? Go take his guns away so we can go ahead and vaccinate him? Yeah, I guess I did just say that, didn't I? So this is the problem that we have, that when you start implementing stuff that strips you of your Second Amendment rights like this, how does Joe defend himself now? He's been disarmed by a court order. And if he does not give up his guns willingly, he'll be taken into custody or shot. Well, they wouldn't do that. Okay. Guys, this is a mess. And now we've got the United Nations have been brought in. With the UN has been activated with their blue helmets to come in and patrol the streets of the countries that have been affected with coronavirus. Guys, these aren't American troops. These are going to be Spetsnaz, Chinese troops. Any troop that's involved with the United Nations that's going to be part of that force, and when they're told to come to your home and to disarm you, they're not coming in to ask you for your guns. I want you to understand that. They're not coming in to ask you anything. These guys aren't police. They don't care about your Second Amendment rights or the fact that you're an American citizen. They're not Americans. They're special forces from other countries. And they're going to follow orders. Go in this block here. We've got this block. These are a bunch of rednecks down here. We know they all got guns. Go into this block. Coordinate off so we can get out of the containment area. And go door to door to door to door and clear the houses. Make sure all the weapons are out. Keep the deaths to a minimum. Okay, whatever that means. This is the problem that we have, guys, when we have a president who's pushing red flag gun laws that I've talked about already, and we have a Congress that's pushing red flag gun laws, or we've got a state legislation that's pushing red flag gun laws. You lose the ability to defend you and your family if other countries' troops come to your house, or if another country, because we are in the middle of a giant pandemic here and we become weakened, decide they want to start pushing people or troops into our country. I mean, how do you know that you put in, let's say you put in a million UN troops from other countries, and you know you've got X amount of hundreds of thousands of troops from different countries coming into the country. What happens if they decide they're not going to follow their UN directive anymore? They're going to follow the directive from the country that they left from. In other words, you bring in 100,000 or 200,000 hard battle trained Russians or Chinese, and all of a sudden the Chinese government says, oh, by the way, we're going to change the directive. You're not going to follow the UN troops anymore. You're going to go ahead and follow our directives now in this other country. Oh, that wouldn't happen, Ted. Okay, I hope it doesn't. But what happens when all of these things start to coalesce together? I mean, we've got huge increases now in admitted viral cases of this product. We've got the United States military preparing quarantine concentration camps all over the country now, especially near major airports, in the event that this thing goes viral here in the United States, which is, these are all, like it says, these are contingencies as far as in preparation in advance. But guys, can you believe we're living here right now? Can you believe that we're living in this? I mean, it's like the book of Revelation, like the seals are being broken. And, you know, and the sea's being polluted with microplastics and radiation poison, and the fish are dying. And we've got locust plagues going on in Africa. And we've got all of this stuff. Yeah, it's getting close, isn't it, guys? If right now, if you're bored, if you're not awake, if you don't know what's going on, you got to read a little bit more. And you got to realize that, guys, it's time for all of us to stick together and to really, really pray. Let's pray right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, I ask for intervention in all this, Lord. I ask you to come in here and just try to help these people in China to get this thing under control, that this thing stops, this whole thing stops, and it can't be used as a precipitating incident. I pray that the American population wakes up, they come out of their slumber, that they begin to realize, Father, that this stuff is not okay, that all of this stuff that we're being forced to do is not okay, that this Frankfurt School communist agenda is fully exposed for what it is, and that we can all figure out, you know, in aggregate, Lord, as patriots, that we've got to stand firm in what the Constitution of the United States says and what your word says, Lord, through Jesus and through Christ and through the Torah and through the New Testament, Lord. We've got to stand for all of this, Father. We've got to make sure that we have our Christian values involved in all of this and that we can all walk in love and help one another, Lord. And Father, make people realize that we've got to support the president because he's in the White House, but we have to hold him accountable, Lord, for what he does and what he says. And when he says things that are wrong, Lord, we can't be hoopla and roula and everything else, that the seminars and these giant conventions that he's doing, Lord, and saying it's all okay. We've got to hold him accountable. And Lord, I understand that he's got a lot of compromises that's been done to the Rothschild banking cartel, through Wilbur Ross and Sue Adelson and all the rest of these guys, Father. But I pray that you let your Holy Spirit come on Donald Trump, that you really allow him to be affected by the truth of what he knows and allow him to do what's right in your eyes, Lord. That's all we can pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I pray all this in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Guys, I don't do that very often on the show, but sometimes we need to have massive aggregate prayer, and that's what it allows me to do that when I pray with you guys openly like this, because we have to realize that this is not a game anymore. These guys are playing for blood. The guys who released this virus, the same guys who took down Building 7, I believe that with all of my heart, the same group, they're doing everything they can to usher in the end times. And we've got to do everything we can to stop it. And why? Because I don't want them to manipulate Scripture. I don't want them to try to force Scripture to be held, to be developed. I don't want that. I want everything to be done in God's timing, because this whole thing is this. We don't need these clowns trying to create tribulation. We don't need these clowns trying to kill huge chunks of the population of the planet. We need to be about our Father's business in trying to get people saved and having them understand that we're to walk in love. It's all about being part of God's kingdom and looking at Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. That's what we have to understand. It's about Jesus and not about all of this other stuff. And we can't be giving our blind allegiance as Christians to any leader if they're not walking the walk and talking the talk of what the Bible says. All right, that's enough. Austin, what's your next story, bud?
That's really well said. I mean, you're absolutely right about that. Also, too, in other news, this is something that I'm glad to see they're trying to put a stop to in public schools, as I have felt for years. These have been completely and totally over the top. The two largest teachers unions in the country are now requesting to revise and or eliminate the violent active school shooter drills that they've been doing in schools all across the country, asserting that it's harming students' mental health and there's much better ways to prepare for the possibility of a school shooting. They said these unannounced active school shooter drills terrify children, leave them unable to concentrate in the classroom, and unable to sleep at night. If schools are going to do drills, they need to take steps to ensure the drills do more good than harm. This has been something that I have repeatedly brought up. There's a couple of years ago, I think it was 2016, Winter Haven PD got absolutely eviscerated in the media. Winter Haven is the city right next to us. As Winter Haven PD worked with the principal of the school to do an unannounced active shooter drill at one of the middle schools over there. When I mean unannounced, I mean there's only few key personnel in the school that know what's going on. Some of the top teachers, the principals, superintendents, stuff like that. And what they do is they hire somebody, usually it's law enforcement, to come in with a mask on, running blank ammunition in the school, basically firing rounds in the school, and they do a full-blown lockdown and or evacuation of the school. And then basically, after it's over, they tell everybody, oh, by the way, good job. That was a drill. Just want everybody to let you know, good job on that. And everybody's sitting there literally shaking because they thought they're about to get shot up. And everybody's, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And they don't even tell anybody. This is textbook terrorism at its clear, finest aspect when we see law enforcement do this. This is terrorism. It's designed to put fear in the hearts and minds of children and make them believe that they're completely and totally helpless, and that guns are the problem, and that guns need to be eliminated. When you look at the hundreds of thousands of schools all across the country, and then you look at the small amount of school shootings every year, you have to start asking yourself a question. Is it really helpful to spook these kids and go into a school with a full SWAT team and active shooter running blank ammunition to the school? Not telling everybody it's a drill, by the way. I'm clarifying that. In most of these cases, they don't tell them it's a drill until afterwards. If they're going to do something and say, hey, it's like a fire drill, we're going to just, what are we going to do when something happens? This is the best thing to do. But what they do is they do this intentionally to scare the children. So the children come home, they're terrified. Oh, my gosh, we had another active school shooter drill. It was unannounced. Oh, my gosh, it's horrible. The parents are all mad. Oh, I can't believe they did this. Well, so what's the direction of action do they take? They can't do anything to law enforcement except eviscerate them in media, which they did in Winter Haven, I was proud of. But in most cases, the knee-jerk reaction is ban guns. Ban guns, ban guns, ban guns. Let's not look at the fact that we have a lot of retired law enforcement and retired military and EMT and so forth in schools as teachers. We can't possibly allow them to be armed, even though we were blatantly lied to with the bill down here in Florida that was rammed down our throats in 2 weeks that gave us the red flag gun laws. And they said, oh, yeah, we're going to allow teachers to be armed. Oh, and after it was passed, they say, well, see, what happened there was we kind of did this little switcheroo on you. There's three options that the county can take, and the most expensive one is to send each teacher through a 140-hour training course to get certified as basically law enforcement so they can protect the kids and be armed. Or the school can pick a $20,000 mall cop to walk around the school, and that's all they have to do. So, of course, every single stinking county in the whole state chose to go with the mall cop option. Why? Because they didn't want to spend the money, the literally tens of thousands of dollars every year, training their teachers to be able to do this. So we got completely and totally had. Taken to the cleaners, rolled over, sweet duck, whatever you want to call it. We got lied to again. This is what needs to be done in the United States. You want to block people from coming into schools and doing school shootings. Let them know that the school populace, let them know that the staff is well-armed, well-trained, and will use deadly force in any means necessary to keep their children safe. Guarantee you, you would have virtually no school shootings. But see, that doesn't fit the narrative. That doesn't allow them to get their, oh, should I say, Israeli Mossad hit teams into Parkland and be able to get in and get out and then blame it on a patsy. That doesn't allow them to basically have their whole little escapade with Sandy Hook and push gun confiscation and gun restrictions. It doesn't fit the narrative. So the easiest thing to do is to promote terrorism and push fear to the hearts and minds of children with unannounced gun violence, school shooter drills. And so I'm glad to see these least teachers unions are trying to cut down on this and at least force them to have full-blown protocols that they have to follow, including letting everybody know in the school, including the parents, what they plan on doing and if they want their children to participate in it, Dad.
You know, Austin, it's almost hard to believe that this is actually happening in the United States of America, that people are actually allowing their children to be subjected to full-blown terror drills is basically what these things are. I mean, this is something that, I mean, it's almost hard to even think that this would actually be something that would be okay, that you're having these kids. I mean, you think about it for a second. You're in a classroom, and all of a sudden you hear full gunfire going off in the hallway, and now you're underneath the desk, and you're not armed. Let's say you're 16, 17, 18 years old, and you're a hunter, and you know how to handle a weapon. And you can't handle a weapon right now because you're in school. And you know you got yourself a rented mall cop out there that basically doesn't know diddly squat about anything. He's the only thing that you have as far as protecting you from whatever's in the hallway. I can't even imagine the terror and the adrenaline that would go through these children's minds. Well, yeah, I guess I can. I guess I can. I remember, Austin, and I never really talked to you about this. Way back in the 60s, when we had the Cold War, in Cuba, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis in the early 60s, and I'm like in first, second, third grade, whatever it was. And I remember the teacher screaming, "Nuclear attack! Nuclear attack! Get under your desks!" And we're little children. We're in a theta brainwave state. We're like, "Oh my God!" We're jumping under our desks. And we're like, "What the heck, man?" And then all of a sudden, "Okay, it was just a drill." And you're like, "All right, that really sucked. I mean, what the heck are you people doing?" So then we're going home, we're telling our parents, "We're having nuclear drills. Why? Because they like to get fear. Fear is the nectar of these demons that interact with us from another dimension. Yes, that's some weird stuff. And then, but that's what they are. They're these demons. And they want to have fear. That's why the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Think on the good things. Realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can commit our plans unto the Lord and they will succeed. Our footsteps are ordered by the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it." This is what we have to dwell on. Now, should we ignore the other stuff? No. But don't get yourself all caught up in a knot about this other stuff. Guys, it's so important to understand that the world is programmed through fear. They tell you in the workplace now, in these big companies, "Hey, Joe wants to be a walrus today. You have to refer to him by his proper pronoun. Or otherwise, we've got to take you back to the back room here and have a little chit-chat with you. Because, you know, you got to treat Joe with respect because we can't have workplace hostility going on because Joe wants to be a walrus and you don't think he should be a walrus, so you have to let him be a walrus." And you're like, "What the heck? He's not a walrus." We all know he's not a walrus. We have to pretend like he's a walrus. But what are we going to do when he starts patting his flippers together and looking for fish? I mean, what do we do with that? Well, we have to pretend like it's okay. So we have to deal with his mental disorder and act like it's normal. Yes, pretty much. But I don't want to think that Joe's a walrus because he's not. He's a human being. It doesn't make a difference because tomorrow he may be a sponge and he may want to go sit in a bucket of water all day. Wait a minute. We have Joe's going to sit in a bucket of water while he does his work because he's a sponge and we have to refer to him as Mr. Sponge. Okay, what the heck happened to our country, guys? You say, "Well, gosh, Ted, this is ridiculous." I'm not making this stuff up. This is how sick the doggone stuff has become. Because people want to be things they're not because they don't understand what they are because they think they came from a rock or they basically had some kind of problem in their evolutionary cycle, which isn't even true. They were created by God. Yeah, that's what happens when you bring Darwin into the schools. This is what happens. You know, and so this is the stuff that we got to do. And nobody else talks about this stuff on anybody else. No other show talks about this. I don't even want to talk about this. It's so stupid. But the point is, we've got to be aware of what they're doing to us. And this is all Frankfurt School ideology. This is all Sabbatai Zevi. This is all of his stuff. To turn the entire planet upside down. To create an evil world. So that every thought of every man will be evil all times. So they can resurrect their serpent god, this snake in a tree. Yeah, that's unbelievable. That's why we did the whole show on the Kabbalah. Oh, and by the way, Just a news flash, just a heads up. Jared Kushner and Ivanka are Shabbatists, and they teach and practice Kabbalah in a sect. Just a heads up, in case you wonder how high this actually goes and how many levels of government are involved in this. Just a heads up, Austin. What do you think?
No, there's definitely some crazy stuff. I mean, when you really start understanding what's happening behind the scenes and you get your first eyeful of it, it's a bit overwhelming. And that's why I always encourage people, you know, when you start talking to friends or family or acquaintances about some of this stuff, sometimes you got to go easy starting off, because if they're open to it and they're curious about it, that's great. That means, you know, hey, let's talk about it. Let's basically go into detail. Let's start going over some stuff. But sometimes, you know, you give somebody the water hose treatment, you know, basically you hit them in the face with a water hose. Hey, this, and this is going on. And they're just kind of like, whoa, this is tough. deal with. Because, you know, when we have been lied to, and we have, we've been lied to pretty much our entire lives about a large portion of what we've been told to believe. This is what you believe. This is the truth. This is history. This is how it's supposed to be. And then you actually wake up. It's like being in the Matrix. You take the pill. You wake up. And all of a sudden you're like, you see everything differently. You realize that this is a lie. That's a lie. This is also a lie. This is fabrication to cover up another lie. This is what's really frustrating about it. And so, but the thing is, and here's the good news, though. Here's the truth about this. More people are starting to wake up because of how far-reaching the Internet is. The Internet has been a double-edged sword. It's produced and brought material that people don't need to see on a regular basis, but it's also brought and produced material that people never had access to. You know, before, when you primarily just had the press, the newspaper, you know, if the newspaper said it, that was pretty much gospel. That was the main place to get information from. And so they could control the narrative so easily and lie to the population so easily, because that's really all the exposure you had other than, you know, local areas to talk about stuff. But now being able to find out what's going on with the virus in China, you know, up to date with internet options every single day, with seeing what's really going on, with talking to people on the phone, them saying, hey, it's not what they're telling you it is over here. This is full-blown lockdown. We got tens of thousands of people dead already. We're being lied to. And you kind of go, this is interesting. And so I just encourage everybody to make sure you're doing the best you can to wake everybody up, to speak the truth. And like Dad said, you know, with this whole corporate America, what it's turned into now with this political correct, I mean, it's gotten so far out of hand, but in my opinion, it's just starting to warm up. It's just starting to warm up. I mean, it's going to go further and further and further. And best believe it, the whole thing, and I've said this many a times, and I hold true to this, not because I want it to be true, but I'm telling you, this is where it's going to escalate to. The main goal of normalizing this whole perverted cross-dressing transgender agenda isn't just about promoting this agenda. This is just a sidestep. The next step they are going to promote and they are going to push is they're going to come in and they're going to say, well, you know what? We basically have a age dysmorphia now. Joe doesn't believe he's basically 42 years old. He believes he's 12 years old. So if he wants to have relations with a 12-year-old girl, that's
exactly
okay,
right,
because he believes he's 12 years old. I'm telling you guys, it's already started in little sections before. It's already come out. That's the next step where this is headed. So when 42-year-old Joe wants to go molest his 12-year-old girl, and he says, you can't do anything to me, guys. I think I'm a 12-year-old boy. You can't legally do anything to me. That is the next step they're going to do. A lot of people go, oh, that's crazy, Austin. They would never do that. Would you really believe that we would have gay cross-dressing men acting like they're women, dressed up like demons on their hands and knees, barking like dogs, spreading their legs, exposing their genitals to children in public libraries? Do you really think that was going to happen 10 years ago? I didn't. I don't think anybody did. So if you don't think that's the next level of depravity that they're going to take it to is normalizing pedophilia, you got a reality check. That's why it's so important to keep your children guarded right now and do the best you can to speak the truth and just wake up everybody the best you can. Feel free to sign up for our free weekly newsletter on our website at healthmasters.com. We send out all kinds of information on there on a regular basis as well. So be sure to check that out. We had a few issues with it. Apparently I was notified this week. We do have it updated and it's up and working, functioning again. So you can, again, sign up for our free weekly newsletter, Dad.
You know, Austin, you know, the thing that people are turning to are drugs because they don't have Jesus. And they're trying to find some type of reasoning to figure out how this is all working. And their brains are shorting out, and so they're turning more and more and more to the $1.5 trillion worth of heroin that the United States military facilitates bringing into the United States and globally through their C-130 transport planes and their lily pad bases all around the world. Nobody wants to talk about that either. Nobody talks about that but us. U.S. border seizures, by the way, of meth, fentanyl, has set to break records in 2020. I guess the people who are bringing it across the borders aren't doing it with a nod of our military or our governments. They have to be stopped. The U.S. Border and Border Protection data provide insight into cartels' most recent shift in narcotics smuggling. Let's blame it all on the cartels and their impacts on American citizens in 2020. Heaven forbid the CIA is involved. The data show an increase in seizures of methamphetamines and fentanyl along the U.S. border with Mexico. Guys, let me share something you. Listen to me. The drugs aren't the answer. They're not the answer. They're not. They're not the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's omnipresent. He's God Almighty. He's part of the triune Godhead. He's the answer. When you put your hope in your prayers and your faith in Jesus, that'll bring you the peace. That'll bring you the righteousness, peace, and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Guys, dwell on the good stuff. Dwell on the Word. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. We pray for you. Pray for us. Stay positive and realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And realize what's going on. Be aware of it. But don't get all wrapped up in this stuff and just say, I can't function anymore because I read this article. Don't let them do that to you. Stand firm. You know, you're the army of God. You're God's group. He set you aside for a purpose. You know who Jesus is, and you have the power that raised him from the dead flowing through you. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys so much. Austin, go ahead and finish it up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. And be sure to check out the website if you need anything. Lots of different specials and sales going on. The product of the week, the GHI Cleanse of Vanilla, is on sale right now for over 20% off. Be sure to check that out. And we also have our shaker bottles back in stock. Those had gotten delayed on the batch order that we had put in. We sold the first batch out very, very quickly. So we have the new ones in now, and they're ready to go. Those are basically the shakers with the little stainless ball in them and everything. Really nice. Great with the Fit Food. Great with the GHI Cleanse. I use them all the time because one thing that's nice about it, too, is you can take this shaker and put powder in it. So to put, your GHI powder, your Fit Food powder, whatever, and throw it in a gym bag or throw it in your truck. And then when you're ready for a shake, you just basically have your jug of water in the back and you fill up the shaker, shake it up, and done. You have an immediate, quick, high-quality, high-nutrient-dense meal right at your fingertips. It tastes great and is really, really good for you. So the shakers are definitely a great, great product. I love those. Be sure to check them out if you want them on the website at healthmasters.com. Please call us or email us if you need anything right now, 1-800-726-1834. We are very busy as always, so if you are on the phone for a few minutes, please be patient because we do have reps on the phone right here in Florida in the United States. You're not going to call and get somebody in India or Pakistan. When you call up, you're not going to get an answering service. You're not going to get five different prompts you got to click. So just again, thank you for being patient with us on that, and thank you for supporting Health Masters. If you need anything, give us a call. Let us know what we can do to help. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and talk to you again tomorrow as always.